answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A new poll shows virtually no Democrat voter is satisfied with the way things are going in the United States right now. They're not happy. Republican pollster Mitchell Brown joins me now. Okay, Mitch, are young people in particular dissatisfied and pessimistic?
Hey, Stu, good to see you. Yes, they are, and that's across the board. It's not just young Democrats. I had this on one of my surveys pretty recently nationally, and young voters under the age of 35 are the most pessimistic. We phrased it as, do they believe that the American dream is still alive and attainable for them? And less than 30% said yes. Seniors, on the other hand, too, also were underwater, with only 47% saying, yes, they believe the American dream was alive. It's only that middle-aged group that still had some faith left.
This is all about housing, isn't it? I mean, it's very difficult for young people to get into a home of their own without financial help from mom and dad, usually. So housing is at the root of this dissatisfaction?
Yes, almost entirely, Stu, and it comes down to really two things. They were sold what the American dream looked like, and now, if you go back and look, 50 years ago, over 50% of men under the age of 30 were married and had a home. Now that number's only 12%.
Only 12%. Now, you also had to keep in mind, at a time that many of you were growing up, your parents were coming out of World War II, and there was a lot of effort underway for housing for new families and various federal loans to help them get started. There are loans available now, but they're a little more tough and, in many cases, beyond the reach. And even if you can get approval, and getting a home that you want may still be out of your expectations. Many folks have gotten used to the fact that I can't get the home I want, therefore I'm disappointed. I understand that. We all have at some point. But some have forgotten the very fact of starter homes. You start a home, and hopefully you are able to build equity and go from that point. I made a point when my children were younger to take them to an area where about every third to fourth home was vacant, boarded up. Yards overgrown. Few, if any, kids in the street because it was also a crime area. And I watched their faces as we drove past it. I said, the reason we did that is because you think everybody lives like you do. And that's not true. I'd said I didn't when I was growing up. We grew up in a trailer home, not a mobile home, a trailer home. Dad worked in an oil field. And every so often we had to take the cinder blocks out from under the trailer, put it back down on the wheels and drag it 100-plus miles away. Mom would tape all the cabinets shut and everything, and we were on our way. And when some double-wide trailers came out and folks had those, we thought, boy, are they living in nice places. We considered that a nice place as opposed to an actual home. There are many of our young people now that just grow up with expectations, not realizing the cost that comes with it. But it is also true we have issues with real estate. And one real estate vet is warning of a hopelessness in the housing market. I'll come back to that in a moment. But first of all, welcome aboard to our number two, Larry Connors USA. News, analysis, opinion, and education. You'll know more when we wrap up this hour than you do right now. And coming up later in this hour, you'll be joined by retired Colonel William Bernard Dunn, highly decorated Marine combat vet. He wrote the book Gunfighters Rule. I want to talk to him about our attack on the Venezuelan narcos trying to get cocaine and guns out of Venezuela and up to the U.S. possibly. Once they got into international waters, we vaporized them. I think he's going to go along with that. Was a good idea. But we'll get into that in more detail as we move forward. And in fact, I want to discuss some of it now. But before I do, back to the real estate issue. Treasury Secretary Bessent is confirming the Trump administration is considering a national housing emergency this fall because they are believing real estate veterans warning that there's a hopelessness in the housing market, threatens the American dream. Well, of course, you got to be able to build the homes. You got to be able to profit off of them. Money has to be made. The way they did it in the past was just declaring you had to give loans to everyone, even if they could not afford the home. And that caused the housing crisis we all saw in 2008, among other issues. But now the Trump administration is considering a national housing emergency. This real estate principal who started his career with Lehman Brothers believes the proclamation is overdue. In his words, as far as I'm concerned, it's right on time. If you look back over the last 10 plus years, when there's been a housing emergency, no White House has really taken ownership of the issue, despite the fact that, in my view, it's probably the most important issue out there in the political realm and in the realm of what's meaningful in the lives of everyday people. Treasury Secretary Bessent said the Trump administration might declare that national housing emergency this fall. Based on what? Rising prices, dwindling supply. The median rents have risen something like 21%. That's a staggering number. The median income has increased only 2% in that same time. 40% of U.S. households pay more than 30% of their take-home pay for housing. Harvard had a 2025 State of the Nation housing report showing home sales dropping to a 30-year low. Why? High prices, interest rates, rising insurance and taxes, shrinking affordability. This expert in housing said, we need an approach by an administration willing to try different things, throw different resources on the issue, trying to make a dent in it until ultimately you get to a point where you take the strain off people. You cannot do as they did in the past, telling the Federal Housing Administration, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you must give everyone a loan. But what if they don't have enough money to make monthly payments, so they have no income? No, you must give it to them. 3 months later, they're not able to make payments. 3 months later, they're fully upside down. 3 months later, they're in foreclosure. 3 months later, we've got hundreds of thousands of homes listed as foreclosed in bankruptcy, and no one available to buy them. We've gradually have worked our way out of that. And a lot of those homes that went on the auction block have been bought up. But building new housing, that's the next issue. Let's see what the administration comes up with. Now to this issue of trying to stop drugs from coming into our country. The other day when I saw the video of that Venezuelan boat, and when I say a boat, it looked like a Long John cigar boat that basically had been carved out, cigarette boat, I should say, carved out so they could fill it with drugs and people. But it was a fast speed meant to elude Coast Guard and everyone else. And as soon as they left Venezuelan territorial waters, entered international waters, we were already on them. We spotted them. We vaporized them. Jake Tapper bringing that subject up with on CNN with a conservative they allow on, Scott Jennings.
J.D. Vance tweeted, "Killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use of our military," to which a liberal commentator, Brian Krasenstein, responded, "Killing the citizens of another nation who are civilians without any due process is called a war crime." And then J.D. Vance responded, quote, "I don't give a shit what you call it." Scott Jennings, thoughts?
Well, I'll give you my political view of how I think most Americans are going to view it, most Republicans certainly, and that is that societal decline is a choice. And when you let people come into the country by the millions, when you let drugs flow over the border and you just say, well, let's just get them here and then see how the bureaucracy sorts it out, most people want a more aggressive response. Societal decline is a choice, and they see this illegal immigration problem and this drug flow problem as part of overall societal decline, and they are hoping and looking for and happy with Trump and Vance taking a muscular response to them.
And yet, as he said, most Republicans. Well, Senator Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky, doesn't like it at all. Vance had said Saturday morning, "Killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use of our military." Killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use. I won't say it's the highest and best use of our military, but it is a damn effective use. He was referring to that strike on a boat in the Caribbean, killing 11 Venezuelan drug traffickers immediately, vaporizing them. But in response to what J.D. Vance wrote, Republican Senator Paul wrote, "J.D., I don't give a S about killing people as the highest and best use of the military." Then asking, "Did J.D. Vance ever read To Kill a Mockingbird? Do you ever wonder what might happen if the accused were immediately executed without trial or representation?" And he added, "What a despicable, thoughtless sentiment is to glorify killing someone without a trial." That's not what J.D. Vance said. They clearly were trying to traffic drugs into our nation. They were clearly linked to a cartel. Okay, you stop them, you arrest them, and you put them on trial. They've been right back in the water, and they do it again. The administration insists these were members of Tren de Aragua, that Venezuelan transnational game. I'm glad we took them out. I stand with J.D. Vance. In the meantime, in Chicago, they're still fearful. We're going to be invaded. We're going to be invaded any day.
We begin this morning with the ongoing tension over President Trump's plans to deploy National Guard troops to cities across the country. This weekend, he had a particular focus on Chicago, and we want to show you a social media post he made, which says Chicago is about to find out why it's called the Department of War. And you see that image attached to it. But as you heard at the top of the show, he appeared to pull back somewhat, saying he is not going to war with the Windy City. Here's what Illinois Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth told the Nation on yesterday, Sunday.
"I take what the President of the United States says very seriously, because that is the respect you have to give to the office. And if that's what he's declaring, then let me make it clear. It would be an illegal order to declare war on a major city, any city within the United States, by the President of the United States."
Senator, I'm sorry you're showing your ignorance. You know damn well that's not what he's doing. He's not declaring war on Chicago. You are correct, he cannot do that, but he's not doing it. Declaring war on Chicago. What a stupid leftist talking point. He is declaring war against thugs and criminals. You had a young woman, I believe it was in Charlotte the other day, riding a subway train of some type, just gotten off work from her Pizza Hut job. She was an escapee, an immigrant from Ukraine, got out of that battle zone, got into America, working, riding the train back home after her shift, and a guy behind her stands up and just starts stabbing the hell out of her for no reason other than he could. Tammy Duckworth, do you want that kind of people roaming Chicago behind your children? Now, once again, they want to sell you a scare story. You want a scare story? How about the possibility that Mondani might be New York City mayor?
New polls showing that Zohran Mamdani is leading the New York City mayoral race by double digits, 19-point gap between him and Andrew Cuomo right now. But perhaps even more alarming, he's getting support from nearly a quarter of conservatives, 23%. 18% of conservatives are behind Cuomo, 9% behind Adams, and 40% behind Curtis Sliwa. But I'm just shocked by the conservative percentage that would vote for a socialist. I don't get it.
Well, let's remind ourselves of something. We have a case study we can go back and look at. Those are almost exactly what the numbers looked like early in the presidential race when Kamala Harris came out and also didn't talk policy. So Mondavi doesn't talk policy. He just talks rhetoric, and I understand why, offering free everything for everybody. But that is a quasi-socialist, communist idea.
Yep. Same thing that Harris did, AOC, all the progressives. Just talk ideas and giveaways. That'll get me elected. I want you to hear from a Princeton political scientist on the Mondani race before we wrap up the hour. Because it's certainly a possibility. And some have said, let it happen. We need, in fact, I believe columnist George Will said, let them elect the socialist ever so often so they can see what it would be like and never again come back in our door, at least for a long time. Coming up, Colonel William Bernard Dunn on our decision to take out that boatload of cocaine and ammunition a gang was bringing to our shores. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
If you want to be out, you got to take her out, cocaine.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. In fact, we were just talking about that load of cocaine that did not make it to our shores as it left Venezuela. As soon as they got into international waters, we blasted the hell out of the boat. Joining us now, retired Colonel William Bernard Dunn, highly decorated Marine Corps combat veteran, attack helicopter pilot, author of the book Gunfighter's Rule. Colonel, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm great. And Semper Fi, sir. Coming up on our birthday.
Semper Fi to you.
Yeah, our birthday coming up here in November, November 10th. Now, this...
2 years of...
That's right, bastard. 250. And I'm not that old. I'm sure you're not either. So we're just taking note of it. The precision strike we carried out last week in the South Caribbean Sea, it's getting applause. It's also being called out a wrongful act by our nation. Let's begin, first of all, with how it was carried out and what forces were used to make sure it was successful.
Well, first, a lot of that information very close hold. A joint and a joint effort with some operations forces, probably with some of the Navy. A precision weapon used could be period of different weapons. I believe it might have been a car.
All right, we're going, Colonel, we're having trouble. The signal is breaking up. Give us a moment to call you back. And the question I asked him, I should have made clear that we know a lot of the information is not going to be made public, but we're looking at the best possibilities and what we had. And as he said, obviously precision control. Now we got you there. You sound good there, sir. You back
Thank
with
you.
Us? Okay, good. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the precision weapon, I think maybe a Hellfire. A couple other systems in inventory it could have. It did it perfectly. And if you know, not sink the boat, just killed the people on.
Colonel, I am sorry. I truly am. We're going to, again, have to recall and do it one more time. It's just not coming through clean. We've been having a problem at our end more than it is yours. My personal belief is that George Soros got inside our studio and has been mucking up our equipment just to keep people like you from being heard. But we are going to reestablish contact with the Colonel, retired Colonel William Bernard Dunn, author of Gunfighter's Rule, and get his take on how this might have been carried out. You heard him say maybe Hellcat missiles and maybe fired from ships, maybe fired from the air. A lot of that information is not going to be made public. That's understandable. I don't want anything made public that would put our forces in danger. But it was successful. It was a strike right into the middle of a cargo, I should say a narco group that was trying to get drugs, gangs and weapons into our country. We can't allow this to happen. Why should we? And yet we have some people that are complaining that maybe that was going a bit too far. I don't see any way you can justify that as going too far. Colonel, we got your back? No, we still don't. I'm truly sorry, folks. We're going to have to basically take a stick of dynamite and stick it under this control board that continues to give us some issues. We get great guests lined up for you, and then we have this. We do know that this did show how fast we can deliver and decisive action against maritime threats. This boat was identified by our intel agencies before it ever left Venezuelan waters. It was already being tracked. Now, the 11 narco members who were on board that vessel, I'm sure that day they did not expect their lives to end, but they were engaged in an illegal activity. They're engaged in a dangerous game anyway. They could have been taken out or at least hijacked by another gang. That's the way the cartels operate. Of course, you're going to have to be a pretty big one to take out members of Tren de Aragua. What we had was solid intel, clear rules of engagement, at least if it's a threat to us, and then it was, and the right assets. We had no collateral damage. No other ships were involved, no innocent people. Those on the boat and the cargo they were carrying, they were targeted and they were taken out. But we're going to make sure that that message echoes through the cartel community. You want to try that again? We will be ready for you again. Colonel Dunn, welcome back. We're going to try to give you more of this time here. I know you can't give details of how it probably went down, but your belief that it was the right thing to do.
100%. You know, how many more Americans are we going to lose before we take some substantial action like this? We've always heard it called the drug war. This is a drug war. And it's not just affecting older men and women. It's affecting our children. And we have to do something to stop it.
I want you to respond to Vice President Vance. He said, killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use of our military. Do you agree with that statement?
I don't know that I agree with that for the best use. It's a use. The best use needs to be looked at substantially of protecting our homeland and all of our men and women, as well as our vital interests. And I know that will fall into it, but I would be careful with that statement.
I truthfully agree with you. And I told the audience earlier, I think calling it the highest and best use of our military, but that's what he wrote on his social platform over the weekend. In response, Senator Rand Paul wrote saying, JD, I don't give an S. And Vance says killing people he accuses of a crime is the highest and best use of the military. He took those words, and I agree that they were not the best choice words for the vice president to use. But Senator Rand Paul wants it to be stated, we should not have killed these people because they were just accused of a crime. We've got them in a boat filled with cocaine and weapons.
We're beyond, I think, the normal scenario. It's not working. And the result is, if protecting our citizens requires the use of a kinetic strike on drug dealers and drug traffickers, then that is an end game. That's why I wouldn't use the word the best use. But we're at a critical impasse, and we have to take the gloves off.
And I think you said it right. It is one use. How do you suppose you were speculating as to how they might have carried it out? What kind of weapons might have been used?
Well, the first thing I will assume they had exquisite intel. The worst scenario is a mistaken hit on a boat that is not carrying drugs. That will derail the whole program. So if you go in with an understanding that they were positive that that boat had drugs and drug shippers, then taking them out in international waters becomes a legitimate target based on the president's statement of, you know, saying that cartels are terrorist organizations. And so I suspect it was a joint effort. They track them. They follow them. They maintain what's called PID, which is positive identification. And then they struck before they could unleash those deadly drugs in the United States.
And how do you think that strike reflects or echoes through the narco groups that want to carry out similar missions?
I think it tells the traffickers they're putting their life at risk every time they take that trip.
Great. I love that part. And I want them to be fearful. Otherwise...
And what I would ask the left to consider, how many American lives were saved by that strike? Well, is it one? Is it 10,000? Is it more? How many children did not die because those drugs did not make it in our country? That's what I would ask everyone to focus on.
I stand with you entirely. And Senator Rand Paul, I think he's just trying to, I'm not sure what his purpose is. He just wants to say that this is glorify killing someone without a trial. I think we're glorifying killing drug members who are going to poison our communities.
And that's where I sort of agree with Rand Paul. I don't want to glorify this. I want to say it's a necessary evil. We don't want to do this, but as a nation, we can't take it anymore.
Absolutely.
We're at our last resort. And that's how I would push this.
Colonel, we'll like to book you for a future time where we have more time without a technical problem, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Colonel William Bernard Dunn.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's pigeons down on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. And that ball will be coming soon. Oh, my, my. Oh, hell yes, you got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and Illinois Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker, who in January called illegal aliens our neighbors and our friends. Yeah, he did do that. Now he's saying that if U.S. military personnel are deployed in Chicago, it would be an invasion. First of all, let's get something very, very straight. Illegal aliens are not J.B. Pritzker's neighbors. They're nowhere near him. They don't live in, quote, his neighborhood of his mansion. They don't live anywhere near the governor's mansion or any of his special retreats. And I will guarantee you he is not friends with any illegal alien. I'm pretty sure of that. Now, he might suddenly bring some on and said, yeah, here's Juan. This is my friend Juan, an illegal. He is so dedicated to illegal aliens over his own citizens, he continues to characterize law-breaking illegals as our neighbors and our friends, and that it is disturbing that Trump would even consider enforcing the U.S. immigration laws. This is a man who, if he had had his way, as they were all doing months ago, and especially during the Biden era, all about defunding police, cashless bail, everything we can do to make life easier for the criminals. We had a great discussion on this, I should say monologue, last week about dealing with the illegals that are here. And what can we do or what should we do? If you were with us last week, if you couldn't be, shame on you, but I understand. But we went back over the Ronald Reagan Immigration and Naturalization Act he signed in 1986. That affected 3 million illegals, and many considered it would be the last amnesty program for illegals. 3 million? That would be great if during Biden's administration they let in only 3 million. But we've got maybe 4 to 5 times that many that came through illegally. The other part of the issue is, if you're a parent, and you're living in one of these hellholes somewhere, and if you've got a chance to come to America, and the president of the United States says, come on in, you can cross our border, and even put out an app that you could pre-fill when you get to our border that they will let you in, and then eventually we'll get you in front of a judge and decide, do you really fit the requirements for asylum? Well, by then we're decades down the road. But if you come in here and you're going to do work, provide for you and your family, assimilate with Americans, and you're not looking to rape, terrorize them or our businesses, then maybe you should have a right to be here, at least since the president said it's okay He was wrong. It was illegal. And you remain an illegal. But you can't be upset with parents who want better for their children. And if they get a chance to come to America, would you not take that opportunity if you didn't live here? If you are an American, born in America, you were born with a silver spoon. There are others that may be brought in as children. What do you want to do with them? They had to follow their parents. As long as they're not involved in any crime, where do we find an even ground? But Pritzker is lying when he talks about they're our neighbors and our friends. They might be neighbors in the sense they're in your community, but it doesn't mean they're your actual neighbors, and they may or may not be your friends. My friends would not prey upon my family and cause mayhem and torture others and bring drugs in. If you're doing that, you're not my friend. I don't care if you're a born U.S. citizen. I don't care if you can trace your ancestry back to the Mayflower. You're not my friend. Pritzker pointed out, we have a law in the books in Illinois that says our local law enforcement will stand up for those law-abiding, undocumented people in our states who are doing the right thing. And we're not going to help federal officials just drag them away just because they're in the U.S. illegally. So you don't really have a law, do you? Trump may or may not send in the National Guard, but a lot of Chicago residents have made it clear that's what they want. And Pritzker is denying them, saying Chicago residents don't want that. No, Governor, they do, if they're living in those crime areas. You don't, because you don't see it. You're not living the life of an Illinois resident. You're living the life of an elite inside your castle. Looking at a piece written in the Federalist, talking about importing culturally foreign, economic dependent people is destroying the American way of life. It begins by illegal immigration might be the single strongest issue holding the conservative movement together right now. Everyone, and of course that's a broad everyone, wants illegals gone. No one cares if they committed other crimes or not. This is about the restoration of American culture for Americans to enjoy. He refers to the national national conservatism, which had its fifth annual conference in D.C., where speakers addressed a variety of issues, like where the right should be headed on things like gay marriage, what America's relationship with Israel should look like, the Make America Healthy Again movement, education, and so on. But it became apparent over the course of that three-day event, the prime issue was immigration. Adding that getting rid of illegals is not enough. Is not enough. Various speakers made it clear the damage that has been done already to our country through this illegal immigration, and that Americans have long hated illegal immigration. But now they've been awakened to the generational damage both legal and illegal immigration have caused. Corporate pressure on compliant politicians have led to untold numbers of third worlders with unrecognizable, inferior cultures, fundamentally untethering Americans from their homeland. That is a pretty harsh statement. I look at immigrants as I have forever in our nation. We are a nation of immigrants. And if they bring their culture, their language, their music, their food, their thoughts to our land, and assimilate, not use it to destroy America, I don't really have a big issue. Now, if we're overburdened with this number, where Americans no longer have jobs, yes, I have an issue. The H-1B visa program blew up in December and January during the Trump administration. Transition, actually. Federalist quotes Elon Musk as crashing out. Trump weighing in support of that notoriously abused program. In the process of defending an Obama-era rule that allows spouses of H-1B1 recipients to receive work permits without zero approval from Congress. Bernie Sanders said the main function of the H-1B visa program is not to hire the best and brightest, but rather to replace good-paying American jobs with low-wage indentured servants from abroad. That's exactly what they've been doing. That's why they cry out, who's going to make our beds in our hotels? Who's going to pick up our crops? They are demeaning the illegals that they claim to worship and saying you're not really of no of any more value than that. And then, of course, the question is, if you take all of them out, who is going to do the jobs? I will agree with that. Before you had all of them come in, who was doing the jobs? Some of them might have been illegal. But when the Biden administration threw the gates open, we don't know who came in. They came in unvetted, unchecked, and free to roam about the country. That's why immigration is going to continue to remain a big issue. And you got people like Pritzker saying, they're our neighbors and our friends. I would love to be in front of Pritzker and say, show me an illegal immigrant who is your friend. Show me one who is your neighbor. He would not be able to do so. I wish somebody in Illinois would get in front of his face and ask that question. Too many are going to try to play nice. Point here, I don't play nice. I ask the questions. Then you got the New York City mayoral race. This is turning into maybe a rout, and how and why? Well, here's Lauren Wright of Princeton.
I will say, if Mamdani turns out to be anything like Bernie Sanders, then a lot of people will be very happy because Sanders is quite literally one of the least productive members of Congress. He talks and he yells and he pounds on the table and he gets absolutely nothing done. Less than 1% of the bills he sponsors become law. And so if Mamdani is just lying to appeal to the progressive wing of his party, which I understand because he can't alienate those educated East Coast elites. They make up a big chunk of the party now. They've lost all the working class. Then, okay. But, you know, if he actually intends to go into this very serious executive position and do the things he says he's going to do, a lot of people are going to get really hurt and it's going to be really terrible.
Now, she's talking about that if he actually does what he claims he wants to do for New York and New York City, push it more to Marxism, socialism. There are those who believe, let it happen. If that's what they want, they'll find out quickly enough. Bad decision. How quickly can we get out of this? Last week, I told you about how some various court members, justices, I should say, were doing an interview with Politico. They didn't want their names used, because they were firing back at the U.S. Supreme Court justices, one of them even stating directly, the U.S. Supreme Court does not have our back. They keep overturning our rulings. Well, maybe it's because you issued a poor ruling. And in many cases, that ruling got in front of you because those pushing it were forum shopping. They were looking for a judge who would give them the ruling. Well, the Supreme Court today did something else like that. They are backing President Trump's push, President Trump's push to allow immigration enforcement to continue what critics describe as roving patrols in Southern California. The lower courts had already ruled that was probably a violation of the Fourth Amendment. The High Court did not offer an explanation again. Three liberal justices, you could probably name them, were going the other direction. So here's another case, and this involving seven counties in Southern California, but could lead to a broader crackdown on immigration. If they can do it there, they can do it elsewhere. The lower courts felt, no, we need to protect these people. You can't do that. The Supreme Court disagreed and voted 9-3. We're not going to allow lower courts to set this law. And the High Court did not provide any analysis. We just had a writing from Justice Kavanaugh. Agents we're considering taking together can constitute at least a reasonable suspicion of illegal presence in the U.S. That would mean illegal. Round them up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.